Welcome to It Can Be You, speaking with entrepreneurs to uncover the why behind your success. Today, we're speaking to Peter Madrigal, from busboy to big dreams. So being the face of a company, I started Fashion Ovation back 7 years ago, and we built the whole company around me as the brand image. And that was really scary to me because I feel like, I think we all have this feeling that, you know, there are things about us that people will love and there are things about us that people won't relate to or understand, therefore maybe sometimes not like. And it took me a long time to find out and figure out and be okay with the fact that you're not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to like what you have to say. But then you'll have your super fan group that loves what you say and what you do, and they're your support system through building whatever it is that you're building. And I remember being the face of Fashion Ovation many times. I had major imposter syndrome, which I still do today. And I remember, you know, one time in particular, I was invited to have lunch with Susan Rockefeller at the Rockefeller Plaza in New York, and it was one of the restaurants in there. And I remember walking up to the restaurant and going, oh my God, I'm going to tell the person that's going to sit me down that I'm there to meet Susan Rockefeller. They're going to look at me and say, are you sure you're meeting? Like, why is she meeting you? Like, I had this fear. And I remember walking in and being like, they're like, who are you? You know, do you have a table reservation? I'm like, yeah, I'm here to have lunch with Susan Rockefeller. And saying it out loud just felt really strange to me. I felt very insecure about it. And that was just one of many moments that I had because of working with such big names in different industries while running that business. And the way that I got out of that a little bit, and I still have it here and then, but it's through surrounding myself with people that allowed me to be 100% me and believing in who that person was for then me to have more belief in myself when going into those situations and thinking, wait, if they're giving me that time to spend with me, it means that I'm giving them some type of value because their time is very valuable. And I had to just keep saying that to myself over and over again. So it's very tough. The scrutiny is tough. You do get a lot of criticism because, again, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But I think the main thing is to practice just like inner strength through meditation, through whatever way you get that. And again, through being around people that really love and support you.
I think I can handle it. Wah, bah, bah, loom, bah,
bah, bah, bah, bah. Oh, get your act together!
Hotkins Roses, please!
Hey, come on, man! I got four people waiting for me. I'm only going back here with three drinks!
I know, it's coming.
With a twist, absolute on the rocks, Gilby's and tonic, and a velvet hammer!
Is it what I ordered?
And a ring, a Molson, and a Cuba Libre!
What was that?
A Molson and a Cuba Libre!
Oh,
it's
okay.
You guys working for me. In 2 weeks, you'll be famous.
I've been famous for 10 years. Just give me the money.
So this is something that I haven't talked about when I talk about my many lives. In my late 20s, early 30s, I would host pop-ups to give opportunities to emerging brands around the world. And when I came in my 30s, early 30s, to LA, and I went to Sur, and I visited the space, and I was very awed by it, I decided to reach out to the founders and ask them if they wanted me to host my events at their space and do a collaboration. And that came about. And I remember it was the first season of when Vanderpump Rules first started filming, when I would host these events at Sur. And the cast members were actually working my events as waiters and bartenders and busboys and all of the things that they were doing before they became reality celebrities that they are today. And so it's kind of fun and kind of, it's a humbling thing that I got to know Peter Madrigal and other cast members and the founders in the beginning of this journey, which has led now to this huge show on Bravo that everyone knows. And so I've had the opportunity to really get to know them, you know, pre-spotlight to being in the spotlight. And what really warms my heart is that the people that I met 15 years back that are now who I'm interviewing today, they haven't changed the essence of who they are. even after all of those, you know, spotlight moments, which sometimes can deter someone from who they were and who they are. And that really is something that I value about them. When watching these movies and TV shows, it always looks easy, but it's definitely not as easy as it seems. And so I'm really excited for this episode today, where we're going to see some of those struggles and how it is to overcome them to get to the other side. You're listening to It Can Be You with Jordana. Today I'm here with Peter Madrigal, the founder of Reality Network and a cast member of Vanderpump Rules. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jordana. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic, actually. This is an interesting morning so far.
It's going to get more interesting.
I hope so.
So the first question I have for you is for anybody out there who watches this and hasn't heard of you before, how do you define yourself? Who is Peter Madrigal?
Who am I? Wow, that's an interesting question. You know, I've never actually thought about that myself. Who am I as a person? No, I'm actually I have a very determined outlook on life. I'm very determined. I'm a go-getter. I get up at like 6 in the morning, so that's the way I would define myself. It's like, and I'm one of the best people you'll ever know.
So I want to go back now all the way to Little Peter. Little Peter Madrigal.
Little Peter Madrigal.
Okay. When you were, I don't know, go back to like your childhood.
Yeah.
What was little boy Peter like?
Little boy Peter. I mean, it's basically the same. I was the oldest of 7. You know, I'm the oldest of 7 kids. That's a lot. You know, my parents were Roman Catholic, so they got together and got busy really quick. So because of that, I had to mature very quickly, you know. Okay. I was the most mature out of all of my siblings, you know, because I was, you know, like, I had to take care of them. You know what I mean? So, and then once I got to high school, you know, I did all the sports. I played, you know, it's funny. I played football. And then I also played golf, you know, because I hit thousands of balls. Thousands. I mean, I was, you know, I was an avid, I was on the junior PGA. And it astonishes a lot of people to learn that fact about me. And then, you know, it was, took place on season, I think, 5 or 6 of VPR. Okay. When we went to Cancun, Mexico, and I remember telling the producers, because they asked, oh, Peter, you want to play some golf with the guys? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was on the junior PGA, and they were like, sure you were, right? And then I'm putting for birdie, and then I hit the par on the hole, and I get back to, after we were done filming, I get back to the clubhouse. This is when I had short hair, no facial hair. Get back to the clubhouse, and I remember one of the producers coming up to me, and he's all like, I guess we do have a pro golfer here, you know? I was very athletic, but I was also very into intellectual.
Okay.
You know, so I went to school at USC. Okay. I was kind of an overachiever.
An interesting thing you said is that you were the oldest, so you felt like you needed to like be like the example for your younger siblings.
Well, it wasn't just that, but I also had to play dad a lot, you know? So I had to make sure like, oh, you know, my parents would be like, oh, you're responsible for babysitting. Or it's like, you know, it's a lot of responsibility, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of translated into who I am today as a person.
That's interesting, yeah. It's funny, I'm the oldest of 3 or 4. I'm the oldest girl. And I was the most rebellious, and they took care of me even though I was the oldest.
Wow. But That's the exact opposite, I swear.
That's
funny. So, that's interesting.
Yeah. So what would younger Peter say to Peter today?
Impressive. Most impressive. Actually, I'd want to go back in time and tell younger Peter, the one that was like 28, 29, just starting on Vanderpump Rules, I'd want to slap him across the face a few times.
Why?
I don't know. I was just, you know, like I look back on it, I was like, what the hell was I thinking? And as you get older, you become way more mature. And and that's definite in my book. So yeah, I'd want to... I think that I rebelled a little bit post-college, you know, because I got done with all that, and I wanted to get out of college very quickly. Like, my senior year of college, it was spring break. Everyone went on spring break, and I stayed behind, and I wrote all my term papers. I finished them all that week, that spring break, yeah. I remember one of my fellow classmates, because at that point, I only had 2 exams. So it was 4 classes, 4 term papers, 2 exams. So literally, I only had to make class and study two more times. Yeah. And that was it for the rest of the semester. So I partied. You know, that's when the rebellious phase started. It didn't start in high school or college. I want to get done with all that stuff. And then I started partying harder. So I kind of let, you know, I was a little bit more devil may care, you know, my late 20s and early 30s. Nowadays, I'm back to being that mature guy. And I'm just like, what the hell? You know?
Do you feel like you mentioned growing up and like feeling like you had to take care of your siblings and things like, and growing up quickly because of that, or being very mature?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you feel like you had like, were those expectations that were put onto you, you felt by your parents? Mm-hmm. Like, would you have been a different Peter little kid had it not been for those pressures?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get a time machine and go take care of everybody. And and allow younger Peter to really I like the way I grew up because it became of all the experiences that I had made me the man I am today. Although I'd like to go back in time and clear up some of those other little things I don't like.
We all have those. Yeah, you know? But those are what makes us the bad and the good, right?
No, it's the truth.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, a question for you. So, Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
You were working at Sir.
Yes.
Did you always want to be a reality celebrity and be on a
show? So originally I moved out to Los Angeles to get in the business, to be in movies. And so I went to college. I went to USC just for that, for acting, theater arts. And then I started working at Sir. I became a busser at Sir. Okay.
Before the show was a thing.
Oh, yeah. This was 2008. Okay. I've been at Sir since 2008.
Okay.
Think about that. That's a long time.
So the first time I went to Sir, I was 30, which is 15 years ago. And it wasn't, it was like a little cafe I was selling them. It was completely different.
Yeah. It was like 2010.
Yeah.
So I started as a busser. I remember Guillermo hiring me. Like I came in. This was like, yeah, you're hired. Basically, that was my interview. I was like, okay. Because I was a busser. And then 6 months later, I became a server. I already knew how to bartend. So I've been bartending since 2006.
Okay.
Okay. So as far as mixology goes and all that stuff, that just became me. Because one of the things that drove me into mixology was I could never get the consistency of a margarita right. And I love margaritas.
Me too. I never find a good margarita.
Yeah. But they were always like, use the gun. And I'm just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And I remember bartending a couple of times in the early part of Sir, when they put me behind the bar, because I knew how to make a mojito. I knew all the measurements for everything, you know? Yeah. But the margarita always eluded me. Okay. Because it was all like too much of the gun, too little of the gun, not enough, you know? So finally I remember coming up with, all right, so fruit is the best direction to go. I'm going to muddle all this fruit and that's going to be my margarita. So I started developing the Peterita. Mm-hmm. So I did three. So I did three lime wedges, a lemon wedge and an orange wedge, muddle all that together. A little bit of half an ounce of Cointreau. At the time it was triple sec, but I decided to use Cointreau. I switched to Cointreau as I developed half an ounce of Cointreau, 2 ounces of tequila, shake it and strain it over ice. I didn't need any extra sugar because that was the orange, you know? So, and personally, I like to use a little tangerine because that's a little bit sweeter. Mm-hmm. So it was an all natural. I'll never forget, there was a celebrity that came in and he like ordered 10 of them. That's how good they were. And I finally, because I had a bunch of margaritas sent back to me while I was bartending. So that's kind of like the segue into, I'm gonna really learn how to make some really good drinks. And this is all the time like trying to go on auditions and all that stuff. This was in 08, 2010. And then 2010, that's when they started the expansion into the other part of the Sir. Started the expansion to the other part of creating Sir Lounge. Mm-hmm. And that was still a year before we got word that, we're going to do a TV show called Vanderpump Rules. I was one of the first people cast on it.
Yeah. Okay.
I always say like I've been part of it since the inception.
During COVID, you use your Instagram to like talk to people, make drinks.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. And I think that it's interesting. That's where the next question comes in is I feel like I've known you now for a few years, like, you know, through talking here and there, seeing each other. But I always felt like you were this very giving person. When I see you at Sir, you're always making sure that everybody feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. In your show during COVID, you were always like bringing people on to speak with you and like mm-hmm. interacting and making people feel like they weren't alone. And even like recently, like I remember we had a dinner right at Sir. And you remembered my birthday, which is super special because I feel like, you know, you really care about people.
Oh, yeah.
And usually, you know, I'm not saying that reality celebrities don't, but that world and that balance, like, how do you maintain Peter, the person that you are, who's this, like, humble, incredible being that really cares about people, and then be on a show where you have so much drama, and how do you balance those two worlds?
Oh, you mean like not turning into an arrogant ass? I'm kidding. I always appreciate every, you know, as many, like if you're a good person, then I'm going to mm-hmm. align with you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And everything's fleeting. There really is. I mean, a blink of an eye. I'll never forget this one story that one of the original bar managers at Sir told me, and I'll never forget it. It was during, we were shooting season 2 of Vanderpump Rules, and I was turning 30. Mm-hmm. I'm 40. I'm going to be 42 in June.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it. He told me, he was all like, oh, you're turning 30 right now. Enjoy your 30s because they're going to flash before you like a blink of an eye. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, it's all about like, you know, what you accomplish in your life and the people mm-hmm. you are able to affect.
Yeah.
So if I can just be a, you know, good person and affect people in a positive manner, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. And being on the show, did you face, because I know like this show as an example, it just started, but my biggest fear going into starting this was like, I don't know if I can, because I'm really, I don't know if I can take any type of like scrutiny. People are mean, right? People can like write. So like, how do you deal with like making sure that you stay strong and like,
well, one thing that I do is I just avoid the negativity. It's not, you don't have to don't concentrate on the negativity.
Yeah.
Concentrate on the positive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Cause you know, negativity, like what's the point? You know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're talking about like online stuff, you're arguing with people that'll never actually say it to your face.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially someone like me.
Yeah. You're like, no one will mess with me.
No.
So now going to this question, with running a successful company that you have today with the Reality Network, being on a show, doing all the things that you do, how do you manage your personal life in a place like LA? Like,
I when don't have a personal life.
So is that difficult to find? Like, I don't know, are you in a relationship right now? So how is that like difficult?
Here's the thing. I think I've chosen the success of my company over anything personal at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've gone after relationships before in the past, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go after building this company and making something so. Because I want to build this company into something magnificent. I want to get it to a huge status.
Yeah. And do you feel like you have to choose between one and the other?
I think so. Yeah, I feel like that. So right now I'm filming my own show.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, that will be announced.
That's exciting.
I'm also, and then the middle of the summer, I want to be filming another show. I want to see if I can get around to Bar Brawl, which mm-hmm. is a bartender competition show. And I've been pitching that around town since 2015. Mm-hmm. Hell, the original pitch materials, I had short hair. That was the short hair, the two seasons of short hair for Peter mm-hmm. on VPR. That was seasons 5 and 6. That's when I was pitching that show. So that's 10 years ago. That's 2015, 2016, 17, around there.
Yeah.
And then I have a couple of other things that I'm waiting on an email for, a couple other shows.
So a lot going on.
So there's a lot. There's about, like, I'm looking at, you know, 5 or 6 originals middle of this year, next year. And that was my whole goal of 2025 is, okay, so I got the company started mm-hmm. with syndication. Now I want expansion with originals.
Yeah.
You know?
You do believe that because you're building an empire, which you're going to do, I'm sure of it, the relationship thing doesn't really work at the same time. And it's also like too much effort in both, right? So you have to just focus on one, you know? Yeah. So how do you, like, in terms of, like, friendships and people that you let close to you, Like, are you somebody who has kind of like a circle that you can have as that like support, like person, people by your side, let's say? Mm-hmm. Like, how do, like, what, tell me a little bit about that.
So I have a couple of people that are like in my immediate circle right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are some people that I rely on thoroughly, you know. And they're the ones that, you know, you ever see my favorite... My favorite show, my favorite sitcom of all time. Everyone's all like, Friends! Like, no.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
It's one of my favorites. So in okay. Seinfeld, there's one episode where Jerry's dating this woman, and then she puts Jerry on the number one on the speed dial on her phone, right? These are, you know, this is the 90s, right? So she puts number one speed dial, and the stepmom gets all jealous. She's like, I've been working on that list for 7 years or something. So I have my own speed dial list that's on the top of my of my text messages. You know, there's about six people there, you know?
That you can count on.
Yeah, that I can count on. Yes, absolutely.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think we all need that in order to be,
Mm-hmm.
And now, shape-wise, you're always working out. You take care of yourself.
I try.
How do you keep in shape mentally and physically? Tell me about your wellness practices. Like, how do you maintain that also in the crazy life that you live with all of the things?
Yeah, so this year I made a concerted effort to stop drinking as much. Actually, that was, it's a continuation of last year.
Okay.
So 2024 is when I really started taking months off of drinking, you know? You know, it's just bad habits from years, you know what I mean? But as long as you recognize it and you're like, okay, well, you know. So nowadays, it's gotten to a point where it's like, I took dry January, then I went dry for about a month just recently, middle of, because I was all like, wait, I'm drinking way too much in the middle of March. I was like, all right, shut it down. And then this past weekend, I decided to go out and have a good time. But like yesterday, I didn't drink. Today, I'm not drinking.
So you're balancing more.
Yeah, I'm well, way more balanced. Also, a lot of fasting. I have a couple of meetings after this particular interview, so I hope that I don't... They're not lunch meetings. We'll see. Otherwise, I'm going to have to extend it to like, because I'm trying, I like to do 48 hour fast, 72, like the longest I've done is 72 hours.
Wow.
So,
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then of course, like I wake up and I hit the gym. You know, today I didn't do that, so I'm going to go in the afternoon.
Yeah.
This afternoon.
And what about like mentally? Like, how do you center yourself? Do you do like
meditation? I like to do a little bit of meditation. I like binaural beats. You know, so that like really like gets your mind focused, but working out also does that. Working out really clears the mind.
Oh yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, gets you on that, get that runner high going. Then all of a sudden it's like everything just kind of opens up.
Now I remember I separated maybe a year ago now, but in the beginning of the separation, I would just get into Peloton. I would literally ride as hard as I could and cry hysterically at the same time. I mean, if there were videos, people would be like, this girl is crazy. But after I would get off the bike, after crying for an hour and working out like the workout of my life, I would feel everything was okay.
Better.
Oh my God, it was amazing. I always say Peloton like saved like my mental health during that for sure, which is really cool.
That's cool.
With what working out can do. So we're going to play a little game and I'm going to give you three words and you just have to say quick answers to each of these three things.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So first one, how do you feed your mind?
Exercise.
Okay. How do you feed your body?
Protein.
Protein. How do you feed your spirit?
Meditation.
Okay. Well, I love talking to you. I love like, see, I feel like you have so many facets to you, and I feel like this will just give people a little bit more maybe than what they've known before. Mm. And I think, I don't know, you're kind of like, you're very, I don't know, I'm very spiritual, and I feel this energy from you that there's so much more than like even what you've told us today. But you kind of keep that innately inside of you.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I have to, you know, there's some things you have to stay, mysterious
in
some
ways. No, you have to tell us everything.
You have to stay mysterious. I'm sorry. Then all the mystery goes, and then everyone's all like, oh, I know too much about him.
No, but I feel like you're a very easy person to love, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So as we saw in the interview, Peter always had dreams of being in the entertainment industry. And we see through actions and sometimes universe aligning, things can fall into place and making dreams come true. It too can be you.